Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Web of Debt, The Shocking Truth About Our Money System and How We Can Break Free is a nonfiction critique of modern banking, monetary history, and public policy by attorney and public banking advocate Ellen Hodgson Brown. First published in 2007 and later revised, it argues that most money in circulation is created as bank credit when private banks make loans, tying the money supply to expanding debt and interest obligations. Brown connects this mechanism to a broad historical account of financial power, the development of central banking, and the creation of the Federal Reserve. Her purpose is not merely explanatory. She contends that monetary authority should serve public needs rather than private financial institutions. The book advances publicly owned banking, government credit, and locally oriented currencies as possible reforms. Written for general readers rather than specialists, it combines institutional explanation with a strongly argued political case. Its claims and prescriptions are contested, but its central value is making money creation and banking structure a subject of democratic debate. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, bank lending as the primary source of modern money. Brown begins from a proposition that challenges the common image of money as a fixed stock issued only by government's commercial bank lending, creates deposit money. When a bank extends a loan, it typically credits a borrower account, creating a matching asset for the bank and deposit liability for the customer. Repayment reverses that process, while interest remains a cost borrowers must meet from income or from money circulating elsewhere. Brown uses this accounting-centered view to argue that money is principally a legal and institutional arrangement, not a scarce commodity comparable to gold. Her concern is that a system in which new money enters circulation mainly as interest-bearing loans makes households, businesses, and governments dependent on continued borrowing. This framing also lets her question familiar language about banks simply lending pre-existing deposits. The book presents credit creation as a public privilege with broad consequences for employment, public investment, and economic stability. Economists differ over how fully this mechanism explains macroeconomic outcomes, and banking is constrained by capital rules, regulation, borrower demand, and central bank policy. Nevertheless, Brown identifies a genuinely important starting point for monetary literacy, understanding who creates deposit money, under what rules, and for whose benefit is essential to evaluating economic policy. Secondly, a historical argument about financial power and the Federal Reserve. A major part of Web of Debt is historical rather than technical. Brown traces episodes in which governments, central banks, creditors, and private financial interests competed over the authority to issue money and allocate credit. She treats this history as evidence that monetary institutions are political choices, not neutral machinery outside democratic control. The establishment and operation of the Federal Reserve occupy a central place in her account. Brown is especially concerned with the distinction between public purposes and the role of private banks within the Federal Reserve system, arguing that the arrangement has too often insulated credit creation from direct public accountability. The historical sweep makes the book more ambitious than a basic primer on bank balance sheets. It links wars, public debt, financial crises, and changing monetary regimes to struggles over sovereignty. That approach is also a source of controversy. Critics may find some causal connections too sweeping, or the treatment of institutions insufficiently attentive to competing explanations and constraints. Still, the historical section serves a clear analytical function. It asks readers to see fiscal stress and banking crises not only as accidents of markets or government spending, but as events shaped by the rules governing currency, credit, and creditor claims. Thirdly, debt, interest, and the distributional consequences of credit creation. Brown argues that a debt-based money system has consequences beyond individual borrowers paying loans. In her view, when credit is predominantly issued by private institutions, interest payments channel a continuing share of economic activity toward the financial sector. The result, she maintains, can be pressure for households, firms, and public bodies to refinance, cut services, sell assets, or take on further obligations during downturns. The book, therefore, connects monetary design with inequality, austerity, and the reduced capacity of governments to provide infrastructure and social services. This is not simply an objection to all borrowing. Credit can fund productive investment, smooth consumption, and enable long-lived projects to be paid for over time. Brown instead questions whether essential public functions should depend on borrowing from private intermediaries when public institutions may have monetary and credit capacities of their own. Her argument highlights an often overlooked distinction between a government issuing currency or credit and a government financing spending through interest-bearing debt. The practical effects of either route depend on productive capacity, inflation risks, taxation, governance, and the quality of spending. Issues that critics say require more attention than the book sometimes gives them. Even so, Brown usefully directs attention to distribution monetary arrangements, determine not only the quantity of money, but also the first recipients of new credit and the claims attached to it. Fourthly, public banking and the Bank of North Dakota as a reform model. The book's principal institutional remedy is public banking. Brown proposes banks owned by governments and designed to hold public deposits, support local lending, and return earnings to public purposes rather than outside shareholders. Her best-known reference point is the Bank of North Dakota, a state-owned institution that works with local financial institutions and has long provided services tied to state economic priorities. For Brown, this example demonstrates that public ownership need not mean eliminating all private or community banks. A public bank can function as a wholesale partner, liquidity source, and channel for state revenues while allowing local lenders to retain customer relationships and underwriting roles. She argues that this structure could reduce public dependence on Wall Street finance and keep more interest income circulating locally. The proposal is concrete enough to distinguish Web of Debt from books that only criticize financial power, yet implementing public banking raises serious design questions. Governance must prevent political favoritism. Lending standards must control losses. And public balance sheets must be managed transparently. It also cannot remove real resource limits or guarantee that every project is economically sound. Brown treats public banking as a way to redirect the public credit function toward infrastructure, small business, and community development, making institutional accountability the core test of monetary reform. Lastly, monetary sovereignty, local currencies, and democratic control, Brown extends the public banking argument into a broader case for monetary sovereignty. She maintains that governments and communities should have greater capacity to organize payment systems and credit around local economic needs, especially when national or international financial arrangements intensify austerity. The book discusses alternatives such as locally circulating currencies and public forms of credit as ways to sustain exchange when conventional bank lending contracts. These alternatives matter in her framework because money derives its usefulness from acceptance, law, and productive activity, rather than from intrinsic value alone. A local currency can encourage spending within a community. A public credit institution can potentially direct financing toward projects whose social value is not captured by short-term private returns. Brown does not present alternative currencies as a simple substitute for a national monetary system. Their usefulness depends on public confidence, convertibility arrangements, legal rules, administration, and the availability of goods and services that participants actually want to buy. Likewise, national monetary independence does not eliminate trade constraints, inflationary pressures, or the need for sound fiscal choices. The deeper point is democratic choices about the medium of exchange and allocation of credit should be open to public scrutiny. By placing currency design alongside banking reform, the book frames money as civic infrastructure rather than merely a private commodity or a technical concern for specialists. In conclusion, Web of Debt is best suited to readers who want an accessible, forceful introduction to questions often left outside mainstream personal finance or economics discussions. How bank credit is created, why public debt matters, and who controls the institutions that allocate money. Activists interested in public banking, students beginning to examine monetary systems, local officials, and citizens concerned about austerity or financial concentration will find its questions particularly useful. Readers seeking a politically neutral textbook or a narrowly technical account of monetary policy should approach it as an advocacy work and compare its claims with mainstream banking, central bank, and public finance scholarship. The practical benefit of the book is conceptual clarity about the difference between currency issuance, bank lending, government borrowing, and public ownership of financial institutions. Its proposed reforms also give readers concrete institutional ideas rather than stopping at criticism. What distinguishes Brown from many books on debt is the scale of her argument. She joins a popular explanation of deposit money creation to a historical critique of financial power and a sustained blueprint for public banking. That combination makes the book memorable and influential in public banking circles. Its limitations are also part of a productive reading. Its strong conclusions invite scrutiny of inflation, regulation, credit risk, and political governance. Read critically. It is a valuable prompt to treat the monetary system as a contestable public design rather than an inevitable background condition. If you would like to support Ellen Hodgson Brown, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.